Right, Jim Bell's here to do Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13 for the first Sunday in Lent. And Luke is our pericope system for series 3. Luke chapter 4, page 163 in the Nestle text. Luke chapter 4 is 1 to 13 is pretty parallel to Matthew 4, 1 to 11. And so this section, if you are doing a kind of a steam, heat, higher critical work, would be part of the Q document, because this would be material that's common to Matthew and Luke that is not common to Mark. I'd like you to notice that it is placed similarly as it is in Matthew, and that is, if you let your eye go across the page, to Luke 3:21 to 22, you have the baptism of Jesus and the dove descending and then the voice that occurs from the heaven. You are my son, the beloved. In you I have become or been well pleased. Following that, interestingly enough, is not immediately the temptation, but is instead the genealogy of Luke, which is not placed like Matthew is at the beginning of the book, but it's actually placed here. And it's a backwards genealogy. It starts from Jesus and goes all the way to verse 38. Take a look at that right before chapter 4. And you have Seth of, that is, the son of Adam, the son of God, of God. So that particular theme of sonship and Jesus as the Son of God focuses a little bit more here on the person and Son of God. In Matthew, I think it's a little bit more of the people of God as Son of God. Like Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt have I called my son. The more I call them, the more they went from me. So there's sort of this double theme in the Old Testament. The people as the Son of God, and then you have David and individuals as the Son of God. So Jesus now, in the chapter 4, verse 1, pleres pneumatos hageu, full of the Holy Spirit, hypestrepsen, returned from the Jordan, and ageta, proceeded to be led in the Spirit in the wilderness. I'll just stop right there. A couple of interesting points here. First, grammatically, hypostrepho is intransitive, returned. Ageta, third singular imperfect indicative passive. He was, proceeded to be, was being led, began to be led, possibly. Now, it's interesting, ento pneumati. Is that by the Spirit, being a Hebraism, so that N is like B, or is it that he is kind of in the sphere of the Spirit? Taking a look, I noticed that in Luke 2:27, if you go back there with the Simeon passage, Simeon is told that he will not see death. He's informed by the Spirit in verse 26. Not to see death before he sees the anointed one of God, ton Christon kiriu. And then it says, and he came en to pneumati, in the Spirit into the temple. So I think this should not be translated in verse 1 of chapter 4 as he was led by the Spirit. But I think this should be in the Spirit. The Spirit possesses the people in the book of Luke in this way. Notice he is full of the Holy Spirit. The typical Lucan theme here, much more so than in the other Gospels. And then it says he was being led in the Spirit in the wilderness. And I take that to mean not into the wilderness, but just in, he's in the wilderness, and he is led then. He returned from the Jordan, and then he proceeded to be led around in the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, geographically, the Jordan is the low point, and the land comes up and goes up and away from it on both sides, but especially on the side toward the Mediterranean Sea, toward Jerusalem, it goes up fairly steeply. And as a matter of fact, when they show you the place where the temptation supposedly took place, it's really high. I mean, hundreds of feet above where the Jordan would be. So this business of, like you get in Matthew, him being led up and so on like that, is actually literally so. And that's a desert area. Once you get away from the Jordan area, Jericho is down there. It's like a vacation Palm Springs kind of spot. It's got palm trees and everything like that. That was the winter vacation spot for the people from Jerusalem. Not far. But they would go down there 2,000 feet to the low area. So, he was being led around in the spirit, in the wilderness, Hemeros Tesserakonta, for a period of 40 days. That's an accusative of extent of time. Pirat Zomenos, hupod tu diabolo, being tempted by the devil. Now, it is true that in Hellenistic Greek, present participles in predicate position following the verb can actually function like the classical future participles, which were purpose. So this is conceivably purpose, and I think it is very possible to read verse 1 in the following way, which is probably not the way you normally think of it. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and proceeded to be led around in the Spirit, around in the wilderness for 40 days in order to be tempted by the devil. And then it says, and he did not eat nothing. All right, now that's the Greek, remember, Greek heaps up negatives. It doesn't cancel out, with the one exception that if the compound negative is first and the simple negative is second, it does cancel. But look here. The simple negative uk is first and the compound negative uden is second, so it heaps up. Or compound. Udais, uden, that'll heap up. So, and he didn't eat anything in those days. Whoa, every time you hear that phrase, in those days, perk up. Because that's prophetic talk. You know action's going to happen here, in those days. There are two great examples of the phrase in those days in Mark. 1:9 and 8:1. And they are two critical scene changes in Mark. So here you have it. In those days, prophetic activity is about to commence. And sin telestaison auton epinasen. Here's a genitive absolute. Sin telestaison. Feminine plural, genitive, aorist passive participle from sin teleo. The auton is the subject, and the referent of auton is the days. That's why it's feminine. So, after they had been brought to completion. Now, synteleo normally has to do with bringing something to completion that is, so to speak, in progress. So, well, the 40 days were in progress, right? He was there for 40 days, and then when those came to completion, had been brought to completion, epinasen, I'm going to translate that as, he became hungry. Now, here's why. Whenever you have verbs of state, like having, sleeping, hungering, generally speaking, the imperfect and the aorist flip-flop in their usage. That is to say, you enter the state in the aorist, and you're in the state in the imperfect. So for example, the imperfect would be he was sleeping, but the aorist would be he fell asleep. So here I think he became hungry, grew hungry. 3. Said to him the devil, if you are the Son of God, say to this stone, Henoklaus. Henoklaus is not purpose. Remember, this is Hellenistic Greek. It is the equivalent of an infinitive. And if you put an infinitive there, what would it be? It would be an object. Tell this stone to become bread. And that's how you should translate it. Tell this stone to become bread. This is an incorrect translation. Speak to this stone in order that it might become bread. It's what you're saying, it's not why you're saying it. Hellenistic Greek's use of henna. Say to this stone that it become bread, or tell this stone to become bread. Ipe, second singular, aorist imperative active. Genetai, third singular, aorist subjunctive middle. 4. Jesus replied to him. Notice the use of pros auton there rather than auto. That's starting to come in Hellenistic Greek. So instead of saying he told him, he said to him, just like we use to for the indirect object of speaking. And I have found, I've kind of been keeping an eye on this, I've found that it often occurs when there's nothing else in the sentence except the quotation. You know, like it's not an object after it. He told him to do something or something like that. It's often exactly like this. He said to him, it stands written, I'm going to take the huti as huti recitative. That is to say, huti introducing a direct discourse. It stands written, not with reference to bread alone will a man live. And that's all here. That's all. You can predictably suppose that the verse 4 will end in a number of manuscripts, but at every word of God, or something like that. And sure enough, that's the parallel passage edition that you find in the majority of manuscripts. But the best manuscripts have man, a man, the man, will live, will not live, epi, bread alone. The Hebrew standing behind it is al. But I don't know if I would say, man will not live by bread alone. You know, on bread alone or with reference to bread alone, something like that. But it's probably not means. 5. And an agagon auton, an agagon, masculine singular nominative, aorist active, participle of ago, an ago. And upon leading him up, he showed to him, edeixen, from deiknemi, aorist indicative active third singular. He showed to him all the kingdoms of the oikoumene. The oikoumene is the inhabited world. So, like, for example, in our terms, Antarctica is not oikoumene. It is inhabited world. And that generally meant the Roman world. The Roman stuff under the auspices of the Roman Empire. So, he showed to him all the kingdoms of the inhabited world, en stigme chronu, in the moment of time. A stigme is a little point, the smallest unit of something. So, in a moment of time, just in a flash. And the devil said to him, now look at the word order here, soy. To you I will give this, all this exousion, authority, and their power, or glory, sorry, and their glory. So, you could say, now that auton could be modifying both. It could be I will give to you all their authority and power. That's probably what it is. Because to me, this is not in Matthew, paradedotai stands given, handed over, and to whomever I desire, I give it. Wow, what an assertion. You got to kind of decide here, if you're preaching this text, is he lying or is this true? That the prince of this age really is the prince of this age? Or is this a big show job that he's putting on? So look at the word order, soy, to you I will give, because, now look after the hati, emoi, to me, paradedotai, third singular, perfect, indicative, passive, stands given, it stands given, and to whomever I desire, I give it. Ditto me is first singular, present indicative, active. And I think this might be an example of the Velsgunna translation, where the present tense can actually have this future cast, like, to whomever I desire, I'm gonna give it. Just like a person uses the present in a future sense when you say, I am in London tomorrow. Well, you mean, I'm gonna be in London tomorrow. Not that you actually are right now and you're in a time machine or something like that. So, the Greek could do this too. But notice that paradedotai, that's handing over, like the handing over of tradition or some important thing. 7. See you. Remember, the English will never pick this up. You don't know about all of these emphatic word orders and the fact that the nominative see is used here. You, therefore, if you worship before me, estai su pasa, all will be of you, yours. 8. Jesus, in reply, said to him, gegraptai, it stands written. Now, look at the word order. The Lord your God you will kneel before, and him alone you will serve. So it's not just, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, that really misses the emphatic, don't tell it to me is given. I know you said amoi. Well, I'm telling you, kurion. So let's get the right thing at the front of the sentence. Don't forget, kurion ton theon is the translation of the Lord God, and that is essentially Yahweh Elohim. 9. Ig again, third singular aorist indicative active. He led him into Jerusalem, and estesen, there's our required form of histemi in every pericope. Estesen, third singular aorist indicative active, weak aorist, therefore transitive, and stood him on the wing of the temple. Pterygion. You know, a pterodactyl is one with the dinosaur with wings. That's what that comes with. So, kind of this part that juts out of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself from here down. For it stands written, now that hoti again is probably hoti recitative, to his angels and telaitai, third singular, present indicative, middle, he commands, you know, our noun entelai comes from this. To his angels he commands concerning you to protect you. 2 plus the infinitive is the equivalent of the infinitive. In order to protect you, notice this is a quote, look at your side margin reference from Psalm 91. To protect you, and another part of Psalm 91, epi Chiron, Irosin, Arosin, Seth. And on hands they will lift you up, Al again in the Hebrew, lest, Mepate, in order that not, you proskopto, you stumble against, a stone, you stumble your foot, pros toward against a stone. 12. And in reply, Jesus said to him, Hati recitative, it is said, it has been said, and it is now said. Not shall you tempt out the Lord your God. Now before I go on to the last verse, let me just point out a couple of interesting little stylistic things. Notice the last time Jesus says eiretai, third singular, perfect indicative middle passive. So you have gegraptai, gegraptai, eiretai. Very typical. The last thing in a sequence, you change the thing, and that brings the sequence to a close. Notice the interesting A-B-A chiastic structure of the temptations, where in the first one he says, if you are the Son of God, and in the third one he says, if you are the Son of God, but in the middle one he doesn't say that. So it's kind of an A-B-A sort of a thing, which is another, that chiastic thing is another nice structure. Now, I want to comment here on the order of the temptations before I do verse 13. As everybody in this room or listening will recognize, these temptations are a different order than the ones in Matthew, which is stones into bread, jump down from the temple, worship me for all the kingdoms of the world. Now, it's interesting. Martin Luther thought that Luke's version was better to preach on, which is kind of an interesting idea. Instead of building kind of from the crudest thing to the most spectacular thing to the widest scope thing like you have in Matthew, he felt that the temptations built here because in the last one he actually uses scripture against Jesus, so that the temptation is actually a stronger temptation. In the other ones, it's just stones into bread and jump down and so on like that. And then Jesus quotes back at him. But here, he actually comes against him, as Luther says, with all the fury of even misapplying the quotation in the Bible. I would like to observe, if you're preaching this, you might want to make the following observation in terms of the ordering of it, not what Satan is saying here, but the first one is a crass material temptation. A crass material temptation versus spiritual things. The second one isn't quite so crassly material, like, for example, Esau selling his birthright for food. You know, I mean, it was just crassly like this. Second one is more of an intellectual temptation, a pride temptation. This is I'm in control, more of a mental thing. The third one now is so insidious because it relates to Jesus' mission, which is to succeed in Luke, and this is a Lucan emphasis now, to succeed in his prophetic mission to call the people to repentance. This is why there's a centering in Luke on Jerusalem, where all the prophets go to die. So you might say that the final temptation in Luke is the temptation, okay, carry out your mission, but carry out your mission in the wrong way. It's a great mission. I'm going to even quote the Bible to you. But That is a real temptation, especially when you're dealing with pastors and so on like that. But having the right focus of what it is that you're doing and applying the Word of God properly. So this ordering of the temptations is in fact an extremely effective one in Luke's gospel, and also, like Luther says, if you're just talking about in the church at large. As far as the ordering, this could be just a matter of they're ordered for the sake of the story. You'll notice in Luke 4, verse 2, it says that that he was being led around in order to be tempted, and then this comes at the end, so maybe this is kind of a capstone of a series of temptations. Now the last verse, verse 13. And Syntelesos, after he had finished every pyrosmon, every temptation, Syntelesos, masculine singular nominative, aorist active participle. That refers to Satan, the devil. And notice, it's the bringing to conclusion of a process that's going along. That's what syntelēo is. After he had finished every temptation, the devil apeste, ooh, there's our bonus second histemi verb. Now that is the aorist, that's the strong aorist without the second sigma in the stem. If you compare that to the form in verse 9, there is a second sigma in the stem before the connecting vowel and ending. In this one, there isn't. Ap este means to stand away from, to depart from. The devil departed from him, achri kairu, until an appointed or opportune or, what would you say, not appointed, a time that is propitious. That's what I want. Until the right time, a propitious time. If you're looking at the Nestle text, look at your side margin reference. And there is there Luke 22, verse 3. And that verse is with the final days of Jesus. And it says here, Satan went into Judas, the one called Iscariot, one of the number of the 12. So we know, you know, kind of what's happening. Now, Satan is a factor otherwise. In 10:18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven, and so on. But I think this is probably referring mostly to 22:3 and what goes beyond that. All right? Thank you very much.